Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. This is the Talk Back Hour. Once a week, you're invited to call in and share your thoughts, questions, comments. Our number is 888-874-4888. But I have a packed show today. I don't know how many things I'll be able to get to, but let me give you an idea of what I'm going to try to present. First, the latest on health and healing. Why potatoes could help fight cancer. The omega-3s can help pass the blood-brain barrier, and that's good. It turns off inflammation in the brain. Acupuncture can help treat Alzheimer's and autism, and the antidepressants that the mother was taking, there is definitely now a link. Then we're going to look at the latest from our issues about Japan whistleblowers. Now that a law was passed on Friday, they face crackdown. There's a whole new set of secrecy laws that you cannot reveal anything, including about Fukushima. We'll give you the latest on that. Also, two commentaries today. One is from David Swanson from Weekend Edition. I Googled evil, and it took me to Google. Also from Lori Wallach from Counterpunch, the corporate invasion, government by big business goes supernatural. So we're going to look at those two. Also, 10 ways the United States is the most corrupt country in the world, Juan Cole from Informed Consumer. From our environmental segment, I'm going to give you quick updates on many things. For example, do you realize how many contaminants, unregulated, are in your drinking water? 18. I'll give you the latest. What are the 10 cities in the United States that are simply not sustainable because they're running out of water? I'll give you that. Also, Monsanto and the Trans-Pacific Partnership and why it's a bad thing and how they're trying to dominate the world food supply. Also, a very important report, humanity is wholly unprepared for the abrupt climate impacts, warns new report. Well, let's see. Last weekend, in Montana, in one area, 20,000 cows froze because the temperature dropped so rapidly. And today, it was minus 40 degrees, and that did not even include wind chill. Hundreds of horses on one rancher's farm died, and that's because of the quick decline. We're going to start seeing this all the time now, where you don't have a lot of warning. Things can happen in a matter of hours, including last night an earthquake in Oklahoma due to hydrofracking, and it was right up near 5. Also, good news concerning banning genetically modified organisms. From Hawaii, they signed Bill 113. And now we find out that Canada, the Canadian government, has been covering up the spikes in the Fukushima radiation. Why would they do that? So you see, we have a lot to share. Let's begin. There's a lot of reasons that people end up with autism spectrum disorder. They've tried to say that it's genetic. That's nonsense. There's never been a genetic epidemic in history. So it has to do with what has happened in the last approximately 25 years. What's happened are increasing the schedule of vaccines. That's what's happened. Now, it's not just the mercury in vaccines, it's the type of other adjuvants, including aluminum, formaldehyde, polysorbate 80. These are all going into an undeveloped immune system. But also, what a mother takes can impact it as well. This is the latest study on this topic, and it's important because I believe that before a parent has a child, they should take at least 2 years to really emotionally, spiritually, and physically detoxify and rebalance. This is from Johns Hopkins University School of Public Health. Quote, mothers who take antidepressants while pregnant are more likely to have children later diagnosed with autism. Why? Because these drugs, according to the Natural Society, they're known as SSRIs, or serotonin reuptake inhibitors are some of the most popular prescriptions in the United States, and they come with a host of horrific side effects. And suicide is one, but also the ability to cause autism in children is another. About one-third of autistic children have elevated levels of serotonin. Now, why is that important? Because this is a neurotransmitter, among other things, partially responsible for mood regulation, the ability to focus. It is the main target of the largest class of antidepressants known as SSRIs. Researchers with Johns Hopkins surmise that SSRIs taken during pregnancy and prior to pregnancy inhibit the baby's brain from using and processing serotonin correctly, ultimately leading to what we know today as autism. Now, how bad is it? 1 in 10 Americans are on antidepressants. The majority of them are women. That is really horrific. That's a grossly over-medicated society. It also says that we're not dealing with the real underlying causes of why a person may be depressed to begin with. But if you know someone is pregnant, let them know that the antidepressant, if they're taking one, can cause autism in their developing fetus. Next up, a good treatment, inexpensive, non-toxic, that can help with Alzheimer's, and it's acupuncture. According to several studies, that acupuncture is effective in working with people with Alzheimer's. This is from Hubei University of Chinese Medicine. And the Chinese use acupuncture constantly. And they did this study. It was published in Neural Regeneration Research, Volume 8. And it indicates that a combination of preventative and therapeutic moxibustion has been beneficial for the prevention of Alzheimer's development. So I think that's terrific. So if you know someone who has dementia, Alzheimer's, or memory loss, try acupuncture. Because what we now see is that it has helped enough people and enough models to make it a value. Now, going back for a moment to the whole idea of psychiatry, which in my opinion, if someone is humanistically oriented, who is into talk therapy in a good way and really listens to the person, tries to understand why they may have the kind of outbreaks and emotions that they do, then it's constructive. But the pharmaceutical approach of psychiatry has no basis in science. It's a cult. And their Bible, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Psychiatry number 5, it's a comic book. There is no basis whatsoever in science or in healing. It's just one of these complete absurdities. And it's embarrassing to think how many tens of thousands of psychiatrists and hundreds of thousands of physicians actually believe that by voting with a show of hands, that certain symptoms represent a certain type of disease and therefore a pharmaceutical approach is necessary, shows you how low medicine has dropped on the scale of even being able to comprehend the nature of disease. This is from Natural News. The title of the article is Psychiatric Insanity. Over 20% of young boys are labeled as ADHD. I'll quote this. It's no secret that increasingly Big Pharma, in cahoots with traditional medical practitioners, have created a society of near zombies with all the mood-altering medications they push on the public. But even these figures are shocking. According to recently published information from the Federal Center for Disease Control and Prevention, an astounding 20% of all 14-year-old boys in the United States have been diagnosed in the course of their life with ADHD. And then they're treated with dangerous medications. This is from CNSNews.com. Quote, the study also said that more than 20% of 11-year-old boys have been diagnosed with ADHD at some point in their lives. Now, why is this important? Because I wrote and directed a film about 7 years ago called The Drugging of Our Children. I traveled to schools throughout the United States to talk with teachers and parents about what was different when they went to school versus today. And there were a lot of things that they focused on, but the three that really stood out was boundaries that our parents, those of us who are baby boomers, let's say if you're 45 and older, our parents set certain boundaries, what we could eat and drink and couldn't, how late we could stay up. And of course, we did not have the electronics at that time, the cell phones and the computers. So generally, when we went to bed, we went to bed. Today, however, a lot of young people are staying up late. They're not getting a good night's sleep, which is essential for their energy, their focus, and their immune system. They are then jump-starting their body each day with sugar and caffeine. Both sugar and caffeine are neurotoxic, and they can also cause brain chemical imbalances. So now you have a person that didn't get a good night's sleep, sleeping with a cell phone close to their head, and that's pulsing electromagnetic pulses right into the brain. You can actually see this, and you can see the brain and the chromosomes are, in effect, overstimulated. They're highly inflammatory, which is bad. That leads to cancer, among other things. In any case, then by taking all the soft drinks throughout the day and all the caffeine throughout the day, they're not going to be able to sit still and focus as they normally would. As a result, they're going to get diagnosed. Now go to France and you find out that the entire population of young people, the ADHD diagnosis is 0.5%. Well, how is it 20% in the United States and 2,000% higher? Well, it's simple. Not 2,000%, it's 20%, but over zero. It's simple. In France, you're only allowed to eat four times a day. That includes your snacks. Your meals are structured. Your study time and homework is structured. Your social life and when you go to bed is structured. There is some parental control. In the United States, in many cases, it doesn't exist at all. And that's why we had this epidemic. You would think that doctors and social scientists, sociologists, would be leading an effort to try to normalize in a good way a children's behavior and the circumstances in which they're living, at least establish some model. But that's individually that happens. It doesn't happen as a society. And that's why we have this. From the Karolinska Institute, omega-3 fatty acids pass the blood-brain barrier. Now, why is that important? Because we now know that the omega-3 fatty acids turn off inflammation in the brain, help prevent Alzheimer's. That's good. You want that. 1,000 milligrams in the morning, 1,000 milligrams in the afternoon. This was published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Internal Medicine. So that's terrific. Take your omega-3s. Also, potatoes can aid with cancer treatment. This is from Massey University. They found that potatoes are not usually thought of as a superfood, but they do have cancer-fighting properties. And the research of Dr. Esther Chong found that when she was doing this, the extract, quote, contained phytochemicals, which are plant-sourced compounds. Several compounds were found at concentrations that have been reported to exert bioactive effects against cancer, end quote. Now, keep in mind that scientists tend to be very conservative in what they say. So you have to read into that it's a lot more exciting than what they're letting on, but that's still good. And finally, persimmon leaf has a flavonoid in it, and that can help prevent a stroke. This was a study published in Neural Regeneration Research. It was done at Henan University of Traditional Medicine in China. Quote, persimmon leaf flavonoid can elevate ischemic tolerance by reducing inflammatory reactions and vascular endothelial injury. Well, in lay language, it just means it's going to help prevent a stroke. And by the way, ginkgo biloba leaf also can help prevent strokes. So that's good because the leaf causes the dilation of blood vessels, decreases lipid and glucose levels, and has a strong antioxidant effect. All those are important in preventing a stroke. And it's inexpensive. Now I'm going to go through a lot of environmental issues. And the first step is, when you turn on your water tap, you assume that you're getting clean water. I don't assume that. That's why I use a water filter. But most people do. Here's the latest on why you should be concerned. Quote, researchers in the U.S. Geological Survey and the Environmental Protection Agency analyzed single samples of untreated and treated water from 25 U.S. utilities that voluntarily participated in the project. They found traces of 18 unregulated chemicals in the drinking water for more than one-third of U.S. water utilities in a nationwide sampling. Wow. These included 11 perfluorinated chemicals, an herbicide, two solvents, caffeine, an antibacterial compound, heavy metal, and antidepressant. So those are all getting right through. You don't see them. There's no turbidity, but they're getting into your body, along with some viruses, bacteria, and microbes. So one more reason to pay attention to the quality of the water that you're drinking. Now, I'm always asked, Gary, what are the best places to live? And you have to be very careful about this because there's some great qualities: inexpensive land, cooler for part of the year when you go towards the northern altitude. But then you end up like in Montana today with 40 below zero. I didn't see the wind chill. It would make it colder than that. Or all the animals dying in a given area. And then your food, it can destroy everything. And then running out of water. So I look at places that are going to have sustainable water with aquifers that are not overpopulated, that don't have gas, hydrofracking, or nuclear, that have progressive communities. These are the things that you have to look for. Here are cities that are running out of water sooner than you think. First up, Salt Lake City, Utah. It's running out of water. Then we have Lincoln, Nebraska. Cleveland, Ohio. Miami, Florida. Which is surprising because it's so popular. The real estate is so expensive. But the point is, they're not only losing their ocean front, meaning the sand is being washed out. When I run up and down Miami Beach, South Beach, in the mornings when I go there, I see these tractors. They're bringing in enormous amounts of sand, and then they put it back so that the tourists will go to the beach. If they didn't do that, then there wouldn't even be any beach there, but now they're running out of water. See, Miami's watersheds appear to be relatively in good shape today, but according to the latest studies out of University of Florida, it listed the city, Miami, as the second most at risk for water vulnerability due to, quote, low storage of water per capita. So that doesn't mean it's going to run out tomorrow. But it does mean that these are places that you would have to consider water running out if you want to move there. Washington, D.C. is another city. And San Antonio, Texas. And San Francisco. Houston, Texas. And San Diego. Those are the cities running out of water. Next up, are we prepared for climate change and its impacts if these impacts are quick? We've been led to believe with some certainty that, yeah, there's global warming and there's going to be some problems, but not immediate. Don't worry about it. It'll happen down the road, probably after you're dead. Not so. Here's the latest from commondreams.com. Quote, humanity is wholly unprepared for abrupt climate impacts. The pace of change is orders of magnitude higher than what species have experienced in the last tens of millions of years. Well, that's what has, that was the takeaway from the new report released by scientists in the National Academy of Sciences this week, which says, in lay language, sudden impacts of climate change are beyond inevitable. They're going to happen, and we are completely unprepared for them. Quote, if you think about gradual change, you can see where the road is and where you're going. With abrupt changes and effects, the road suddenly drops out from underneath of you. End quote from Professor Tony Bernoski. The report is entitled Abrupt Impact of Climate Change, and it looks at the issues of abrupt climate change, weather patterns, and the impacts that can occur in a short period of time. The most challenging changes are the abrupt ones, says Professor of Geological Sciences, University of Colorado in Boulder, James White, chair of the committee. Quote, the planet is going to be warmer than most species living on Earth today have seen it, including humans. End quote. So isn't it interesting that here's a group of very aware, highly intelligent scientists who tend to be conservative in their statements, and they're saying that we're unprepared for all these big events that are going to be happening. We're also finding out separately that whole areas of the country, cities are running out of water. Separately, where half of all counties in the United States are in permanent drought. Additionally, we had 13,000 unique weather situations in the last 12 months. That means the worst or most extreme of its kind. Remember this past year we had that tornado that was a mile across and one of the largest dust storms, then sandstorms, that's something new. The dust storms in the 1930s are back, but then sandstorms. Now, sandstorms can be huge. It can be miles and miles long, where you look from your far right to your far left and several miles up, all you see is this dark cloud. Now, depending upon the velocity of the wind when it hits, it could do some serious damage because sand, unlike dust, has a lacerating effect. It can exfoliate your skin and damage trees and what is planted, homes, cars. That's the new norm, and that's all over the West. Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, sandstorms are the new norm. And then areas going down through the small Colorado, Little Colorado, running low on water, Lake Mead running low on water. Now, I'm not here to talk about things that are doom and gloom. I'm merely giving those of you who otherwise might be thinking, well, I'll go out to Santa Fe, or I'll go out to Albuquerque, or I'll go out to Taos, or I'll go out to Boulder. I wouldn't. I'd take a careful look. It was rather ironic that I was on PBS in Denver. I was talking about being prepared, and that it just makes sense why you should look at what would happen if there was a fire or a flood. And there was just zero response to it. Within 2 weeks, they had the worst fires in Colorado history. Within 2 months, they had the worst flooding in Colorado history. So guess which special was playing all this weekend? That one. Yeah. Now suddenly they're thinking, okay, I better know what to do. Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that they only get it after they've been hit by it. Good news, however, because of the work of the people of Hawaii, and we have a lot of listeners right now in Hawaii. This is from today. Quote, the Hawaii County Council adopted Bill 113, Draft 3, adding a new article relating to genetically engineered crops and plants. And the mayor, Kinoe, signed it. He says, quote, our community has a deep connection and respect for our land, and we all understand we must protect our island and preserve our precious natural resources. We are determined to do what is right for the land, because this place is unlike any other in the world. With this new ordinance, we are conveying that instead of global agribusiness corporations, we want to encourage and support community-based farming and ranching. And with that, he goes on to talk about how they're going to really support small farming, organic farming, sustainable farming. Good for you. I'm glad to see that this bill passed, banning GMOs. That's a victory. Now, also from the environmental segment, Canada is shown to have covered up the spikes in the Fukushima radiation. From Washington blog, quote, falsely stated that there were no unusual radiation levels. The governments of Japan, America, and Canada have covered up the severity of the Fukushima crisis ever since it started in March 2011. They've cut way back on radiation monitoring after the Fukushima meltdown, underplaying the amount of radiation pumped out by Fukushima, and raised acceptable radiation levels rather than fixing anything. Then it goes into all the examples of how the actual Canadian documents that this person got shows all these tremendous spikes, as much as a 3,000%, no, excuse me, 3,000 times greater increase in radiation than what is normal. And yet they turn around with their press release and say, but there's no problem. And then they start finding all these anomalies in their fish. There's oozing sores, there's ulcers. Polar bears are having skin conditions. The fish are diminishing. Starfish are vanishing and melting. They're disintegrating. These are all signs of radiation toxicity. So rather than be honest, they're lying. And that's unfortunate. Now, they get some support when they lie, because today Japan passed a law, and it makes it almost impossible for anyone to tell the truth about anything that could embarrass any corporation or government in Japan now. In fact, if you do, based upon what is called the special state secrets, you face prison terms of up to 10 years. And if a journalist got classified information, they could go to jail for 5 years. Quote, it is a threat to democracy, said an editorial writer for Tokyo Shimbun newspaper, adding that the legislation could have a chilling effect on public servants who could become wary about giving information to journalists. So they followed the National Security Association's lead, and so now they are fully a fascist state. They were already a racist state. I wouldn't trust anything anyone in a position of power told me in Japan, because they're pathologically lying about everything all the time. And they're criminal in so much of their behavior. And they're misogynist. I can't tell you the contempt that I have for how they've treated their people. And especially after Fukushima, when they knew that they had 39 million of their citizens at risk. And so they began the whole campaign of disinformation. Let me give you just a few examples. They would clear some land. Then they would put a Geiger counter down, and it would show little or no radiation. But if you just went 3 feet further on, where they hadn't cleared the land, the radiation would just be off the chart. They had thousands of hotspots all over Tokyo. Everywhere you went in Tokyo, you would find radiation hotspots. And yet they told the people not to worry, there was no problem. They told people they could eat the seaweed and the fish and the beef and the rice, even though the water supply for much of the island is now polluted, because when radiation goes through the ground, nothing in the world can stop it. And it just keeps going down till it hits a medium that dissipates it, and that is water, an aquifer. And then that water goes to places where it's used to irrigate fields. Well, the average farmer doesn't have any capacity to measure the radiation in their irrigation. So if you're irrigating rice or soybeans, whatever you're growing, it's going to be irradiated. So you can write off Japan. It's now just another typical fascist state. Thanks to our government's input as well, I'm sure. From our public health segment today, your children are to be used as guinea pigs for a new GMO vaccine from VacTruth. Quote, a U.S. vaccine company has applied for permission to infect up to 1,000 individuals, including children, with genetically modified live bacteria contained in an oral vaccine. PaxVax recently submitted their application for permission to begin the first of three international clinical trials for the new oral cholera vaccine. PaxVax claims to have several safeguards in place to restrict the spread and persistence of the GMOs and their introduced genetic material. Well, that's nonsense. Here are the problems. Genetically modified organisms have earned a great deal of media attention in recent years, and rightfully so. In a two-year research study, hamsters were fed GMO soy. Most of the third-generation hamsters had lost their ability to have babies. Other disturbing findings from the study include the discovery of hair inside the mouths of hamsters, slower growth, and a higher death rate among offspring. Now, numerous other research studies have shown that GMOs pose serious health and environmental risks, including reproductive disorders, immune system disorders, accelerated aging, organ damage, gastrointestinal problems, and cholesterol and insulin problems. The American Academy of Environmental Medicine recommends, quote, physicians advise all patients to avoid GMO food. Now remember, our FDA, which is completely and totally compromised and corrupted, claimed in 1992 that GMOs were safe. Many of their own scientists disagree with that decision. Dozens of classified documents, memorandums, have since been made public as the result of a lawsuit showing specific key objections to the use of GMOs. Unfortunately, the scientists' recommendations that there be long-term studies about the safety of GMOs in the food supply were ignored by political appointees. In over 60 countries, including Japan, Australia, and the entire European Union, complete bans or severe restrictions have been placed on the sale and production of GMO-containing products. And the closest thing we have to a clinical trial was dubbed a human feeding experiment, which published results indicated that, quote, the genetic material inserted in a GMO soy transfers into bacteria living inside our intestines and continues to function. In simpler terms, genetically modified proteins may be produced in our bodies continuously after we have eaten the food containing them. And we have no idea what they do. And the problems associated with using a genetically modified vaccine are similar to the problems associated with consuming the foods. I interviewed Joseph Mercola in San Francisco recently. He says, quote, what happens when foreign DNA is inserted into the human body is a mystery. Will it trigger undesirable changes in human cells or tissues? Will it combine or exchange genetic material with human DNA? Will it transfer to future generations? No one knows. Unfortunately, this is not the first time a genetically modified vaccine will be used. A previous version of this vaccine, known as Oracle, was registered for use as a prescription drug in 2000 under the condition that adverse events would be monitored and reported. Well, back in 1999, the Genetic Manipulation Advisory Committee conducted a risk assessment study of the use of Oracle, and although they claimed that, quote, the vaccine poses no significant risk to the environment or the community, in their risk assessment, they outlined the potential for multiple risks to human and safety in the environment. Here's what they say, quote, that Oracle vaccine might be harmful to vaccine recipients. Oracle vaccine might be harmful to people accidentally exposed to the vaccine. And potential hazards that may be posed in human health and safety. Well, who told anyone that? Did your doctor, nurse, pharmacist? No. What about the environment? Environmental safety from the same study. Quote, potential hazards that may be posed to the safety environment are GM bacteria might persist in the environment, GM bacteria might cause disease in organisms other than human, and GM bacteria might be able to transfer the mercury-resistant genes to other microorganisms and harm the environment. So, what do we know now about the vaccines? Well, what you should know is that we are not being told the truth about our vaccines. In fact, in a section entitled, Is This Vaccine Safe?, the CDC only lists pain at the injection site, headache, fatigue, and muscle aches as possible side effects. However, look at the actual vaccine insert warning. Allergic reactions, respiratory infections, headache, fatigue, altered immunocompetence, rhinorrhea, myalgia. Yeah, so they don't even tell us how bad things are. So think about that when you decide, are you going to get a genetically modified vaccine? I'm Gary Knoll. Now, a couple things that we need to know. This is from David Swanson. I Googled evil, and it took me to Google. Google may have been, until now, the Obama of hip internet monopolies. No matter how many nations the president bombs, people still put Obama peace sign stickers on their cars. No matter how many radical right-wing initiatives Google funds, people still think it's a progressive corporation. How can it be not? It's making progress. Google is funding Grover Norquist's Americans for Tax Reform. The Federalist Society, the American Conservative Union, and the political arm of the Heritage Foundation. And there's more really bad news. Google is funding ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, the powerful, secretive, and destructive lobby force from which many companies concerned with their public images are fleeing. ALEC is in the news this week, holding its 40th annual meeting together with allies, rootsaction.org, applying for as much pressure as can be. And it might just be that the tide is turning. Google just might have to start worrying about whether its users favor plutocratic plundering or not. ALEC, this audience knows, targets state legislatures around the country to roll back labor rights, environmental protections, civil rights, public health measures, and more. Using big money, corporate clout, and smooth lobbyists, ALEC teams up with like-minded state lawmakers to draft and enact regressive legislation. Tens of thousands of people have heeded our request to tell Google and their other huge firms to which we deliver this petition not to participate in ALEC corruption of our government. We urge you to stop funding ALEC. Why? With ALEC's help, tobacco companies get tax cuts. For-profit education companies get school privatization. Management gets union busting. Oil companies get opposition to renewable energy. And the rich and powerful get the repeal of state taxes. But in the process, democracy gets hijacked one state at a time. And then I went on to read some of the comments at this post. Here are just a few I thought were good. This is from Carlo Diaz from Florida. I really thought your business was a role model as progressive social conscious corporation. I was seriously mistaken. It is outrageous that you are supporting these politicians that have injured our country and our people so deeply. And ALEC, please stop it. From Marianne Pickett from Los Angeles. Really, Google, really. I expect more sense from you. From William Wyckoff from California. As much as I like Google, I'll be damned if I'll support in any way the increase in political clout of big and secret money funneled to money is above all, unbridled capitalism, Republican organizations. There are other choices and I'll be switching. Kathleen McConaughey. Any company that funds an organization like ALEC does not have an interest in democracy. ALEC is in the business of buying votes and votes for the most un-American causes. My respect for Google has taken a huge hit because of its support of ALEC. And Joanne Durfee from Oregon. I use Google to research ALEC. I'm surprised and greatly disappointed that your corporation would support this horror to our democracy. greed, cynicism, arrogance, downright stupidity, where stated in one of your listed sources, policy areas, including legislation, quote, opposing U.S. consumers' rights to know the origin of our food, undermining workers' rights, stripping environmental protections, and limiting patient rights and undermining safety net programs. I was surprised, perhaps not, just thoroughly disgusted. I love Google. Other venues' ads have not swayed me. However, your support of such a vicious, predatory, manipulative organization has changed the game. One last one. Alec is for profits at any cost to society. Make your engine work for people, not for evil. John Costu from Tennessee. Google, Facebook, and Yelp are people-driven and should not support corporate takeover of the Internet or other arenas. Amy Whiteworth of Oregon. And there were hundreds more. I'm Gary Knoll, giving some additional insights today on our program. I'm going to be taking calls now on our TalkBack 7. You can call in at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. Also, we have hundreds of thousands of people who've used our telephone to listen anywhere in America and Canada. Let me give you the number. This way, when you're out, you're driving, you're on a trip, you want to hear a show, maybe you can't get to the radio or an internet, just call this number, 619-550-0869, 619-550-0869. And there's all kinds of other places you can listen in if you choose to. We're going to take a short break, come back, I'll be answering your calls, but I'm also going to get into the top 10 ways the U.S. is the most corrupt country in the world, how meat is destroying the world, and the corporate invasion by Lori Wallach. This is really important. You won't want to miss this. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Everyone, I'm Gary Knoll. Let's say hello to Pauline from Flushing, Queens. Hi, Pauline.
Hey, I was hoping you could help me help somebody who's in a mental hospital. She's been put there by her own parents because they don't like her behavior. They just can't handle her. And because of that, I have a feeling that she's going to be put in a state facility for months on end like she was a few times already. She is a healer. She actually knows you, actually, and she doesn't want to ask you, and I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you think we can get an advocate on her behalf? Is there any kind of information you have that I could, if she has a court case to get out of there on her own, I don't know. She's not... She was living with her parents, and she's a 50-year-old woman, so
there's,
I don't know
there's
how...
several things that can be done. The first thing is to give me all the information, send it over, and send it attention to Scott. He's one of our in-house attorneys. He will then turn it over to David Oakes, and David is one of the leading anti-psychiatric advocates in the United States, himself having been into that problem in the past, and now he's a major person for helping others. We're always helping people who are wrongly institutionalized, and so there are many good ways to get them out. So all you have to do is give us the information in detail, the person's full name, address, phone number, contact information, and as much as you can find out about what her diagnosis was and if this has happened before, and we'll certainly intercede and do what we can. Tom from New York. Hi, Tom. You're on.
Hi, Gary. I have a two-part question. I was listening to another program on radio, and a doctor was talking about foods that diabetics shouldn't eat, such as sugars, fruits, oats, bread. One of my questions is, what can a diabetic eat, or a regular person eat?
How long have you been listening to this program?
A couple of months now.
Okay. All right. Go to Barnes & Noble. Get a copy. Just sit there with the book, No More Diabetes. It'll list every single food that has a low, medium, and high glycemic index. Hundreds of foods. Write down the foods that are low glycemic. And there are fruits that are low glycemic that you could have. And there are beans and grains. There's nuts and seeds. There are root vegetables. And this way you can know what you can work with. It's free. It's there. It's easy to download. Okay? All the best to you. And let's say hello to Luann Panessi, who's standing by. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I got an interesting email here. Someone is writing in that apparently there was a film put out recently about Lance Armstrong and about his recent comeback. And the person said, I saw the film, and I felt both sad and angry because it really revealed that he did everything he did, you know, for his need to win at any cost. And there was nothing deeper than that. And people admire him because he's an athlete. And yet, this person was just very troubled by the movie. And she said, because you're an athlete, and you're still an athlete, she'd like to know how you view this entire situation with Lance Armstrong. And she says, I know that there are many ways to answer it, but she enjoys most of all having you answer it on a philosophical level.
Sure. Philosophically?
Yeah.
You're familiar with the Nobel Prize winner, Aung San Suu Kyi, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. You remember what she said about power?
What?
It is not power that corrupts, but fear. The fear of losing power corrupts those who wield it, and the fear of the scourge of power corrupts those who are subject to it. Now then you get to the other part of that, which is, what was Lance Armstrong motivated by? Well, money, clearly. And there's an old Latin proverb that says, money like a queen gives rank and beauty. So look at Lance Armstrong as just an example. You could take the example of the presidents of the United States, all of them going clear back to Jimmy Carter. Exclude Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter, but all the rest. The major athletes, the major celebrities in Hollywood, radio and television personalities. And how many of them work for the money? Because what do you get when you work for the money? Well, if you're Lance Armstrong, winning seven Tour of France, you get about $150 million because of all the endorsements. Once you have those endorsements, even people who don't like cycling and are not interested in cycling want to be close to someone who is famous. So now that you're famous, people who themselves are famous in a different field want to be associated with you. Sheryl Crow, in his case. Then people want you to be a part of their lives. So his cancer foundation raised several hundred million dollars, but I don't see, like all these other cancer foundations, where they actually cure anyone, because the model that they're using for cancer is always the orthodox model. But now you begin to realize that power must be reinforced on a constant basis to remind people how significant you are. why you're the phone number that should be ringing. You have an agent out there hustling you. So each time that he went into the Tour de France, he was doping. Now, I don't know about this film, but I do know that when he went on Oprah, which is rather interesting because there is, to me, the most dysfunctional, one of the most dysfunctional people in American history, one of the most popular. But you look at her, you look at the people she promotes, you look at the money and the power. It's all about money and power. These are grossly insecure people. But they make themselves seem as if they're the ultimate repositories of truths. See, if you want to learn the truth, go on Oprah. If you want to tell the truth, go on Oprah. Well, that worked against him because, of course, then all those people want their money back. Oh, you mean you were doping? Well, then give us back the $120 million. My prediction is that Lance Armstrong will end up completely broke, destitute, probably having to live with friends if he has any, because he made two mistakes. Most people who are wealthy and powerful make the same mistakes. They felt that when you have that much power, when you are the go-to person, when you're the center of everyone else's universe around you, that you forget to treat people on a spiritual and loving basis. He was known to be ruthless, crass, manipulative, controlling, degrading. He is not a good person. He's not a nice person on any level. So all the people that he used and abused, all of those become the legacy. Now, had he been a doper, but been a nice guy with everyone, made friends everywhere, people would probably give him another chance, as they have so many other people. But if you're not a nice guy, you're never given another chance. So that's one of the things we have to learn. So all we know from about Lance Armstrong is what he chose to tell us. Interesting, in 2009, he made a comeback. I think the last Tour de France he did was in 2004, 2005. So many years have gone by. He's 40 years of age. Now, mind you, a lot of those guys competing, the 200 guys who compete in the Tour de France are in their early 20s. They should have taken that into consideration, but boy, did they test him. That's the one race he did that was clean. Now, originally he did a race, and he was a world champion. But none of those guys around him could compete and win in the tour because everyone else was doping. So they figured, since everyone else is doping, they'll dope and win. Well, the fact everyone else is doing it, and by the way, the whole tour has been nothing but corrupted because of how many people have been caught and disqualified. But that's true in many sports. And when he came back in 2009, he did it clean. And he came in third. Now, you consider, you come in third, and you're 40 years old, and you're hyper-tested for everything. Four different tests by four different agencies in one day alone. Then my opinion is that better that he won one Tour de Force and did it right than seven by cheating. But he didn't. And that's true of so many people who are in positions of power. They feel they have to control everything and everyone in their environment. In the process of doing that, in effect, you hold people emotionally hostage or financially hostage. You're the one who's got the fame. You're the one who's got the money. So everyone in your world is there to attend to you. And by the way, this is the same for people on non-commercial radio who treat the people and their employee in very unprofessional and negative ways. I've seen it. If these people were not employed by some of these people, they don't have kind things to say about them. But the world, you know, the world will not come down on these people because of bad attitude. Bad attitude is not a crime. Using people, manipulating people is not a crime. Having no morals is not a crime. So just imagine how many people are in positions of power today who are negative, toxic, angry, insecure, manipulative, overcompensating, and as long as they can have money, they believe that they have something that other people don't have. And so you wake up one day and you're Lance Armstrong. Now, the other side of that is that when you have not developed real character, when you haven't developed real people skills in a good way, when you haven't devoted your life to helping ameliorate suffering, as many people have, then you're just known for what you achieved in the period of time you have it, like a Lady Gaga or Madonna or Donald Trump or, you know, all the others who are out there hustling for power, hustling for fame, getting money without thinking of the consequences to themselves or others in the process. And we have a whole society of Lance Armstrongs. Think how many people on boards of directors, think how many people would cheat knowing a product is dangerous and bring it out because they figure, oh, we'll settle a lawsuit and we'll still make billions of dollars. That's what makes them different than Lance Armstrong. They'll lie about it. And think of all the people in the bank who knew that they were getting $800 billion in drug money that they were laundering at Wachovia. But they did it anyhow. How are they any different than Lance Armstrong? How's a person that buys a presidency, like Obama and Clinton, and how they've sold themselves to the special interest groups and the real power behind it, how are they any different? To me, they are all sociopathic. They're dysfunctional. And that's unfortunate, but that's the majority of people who are successful and in the public eye in our society today. Hope that answers your question.
Sure does.
I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. Didn't get to everything. I will tomorrow. I'll get to 10 ways the United States is the most corrupt country in the world. Out of control. Coast-to-coast failures of outsourcing public service for profit. I'm going to show you all across the country tomorrow how so many states and communities are outsourcing, privatizing services and how it makes it worse. Meat is destroying the world. Plus tomorrow, an abbreviated version of The Hidden Hand, which has gone worldwide viral. Whoa. I can't believe how many sites out there, major sites, are putting it up for people to see. If you haven't read it yet, it's the article is up on GaryNall.com and ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Thank you all for listening.